open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Why don't we stand together? And you have your hand out there. We're going to number 9. We're going all the way down to number 9. We didn't do 7. 7, we won't do 7. We're just going down to number 9, Genesis chapter 22. Tell you what, why don't you do this? Skip Genesis 22. We're going to get that in a minute. Look at Job 23. Job 23. Job 23. We were just singing, "Rejoice in the Lord." God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though you're testing. Testing. Can you say testing? Testing. Seems long. In darkness he giveth a song. Rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of the path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Brother Charlie, thank you for choosing that song. I know you didn't do it on purpose, but you must have been in tune with the Holy Spirit. Job 23, of course, most of us know the story of Job. And Job 23, verse number 10. Job 23, verse number 10. But he knoweth the way that I take when he hath tried me. By the way, you might want to circle that word tried. That word tried is the word test. Test. Okay? Test. Tonight, some of us are being tested by God. If you remember, Satan went to Job, or went to God, and had some dialogue with God and said, really came down to it, say the only reason Job is serving you is because you've blessed him. By the way, I wonder if we would quit serving God if he quit blessing us. And God said, no, no. And God said, you can do whatever you want to him. And of course took all of his possessions. And then the devil came again and said, yeah, you know, afflict him. He won't serve you. And of course he afflicted his body. And Job passed the test. We live in a day and age where most people don't pass the test. You're not helping a new Christian if you say, get saved and everything will be okay. Everything's not gonna be okay for anybody. Saved, unsaved, serving God, not serving God. But Job passed the test, and he said, when I'm tried, he said, I shall come forth as gold. Turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Book of James. And then I want you to turn over to 1 Peter. James 1. And then we're going to go over to 1 Peter. James chapter 1. Testing. We're going to finish up on Abraham tonight. We looked at him a little bit last week. Okay. You young folks, man, you're like, man, life is great. Testing's going to come. It's going to come. And the older you get, the more tests there are. Okay? James chapter 1, verse 1. James, got it? James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That word is a test. That's not the temptations like you're tempted to sin. It's a test. Hard times. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. By the way, patience is the mark of a mature Christian. Okay? You say, I'm impatient. By the way, we're all a little bit impatient. Patience is a mark of a mature Christian. It goes on to say that. My brethren, count it all joy, verse 2, when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect or mature and entire or complete, wanting or lacking nothing. Trials give us patience. Patience helps us to be mature. Okay? You can't be a mature Christian if you don't have trials that you pass. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold or different types of temptations. You can circle that word. Put next to it, testing. 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 That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Father, help us as we look at Abraham one more time tonight, and we see that you tested him, and he passed. And Lord, many of us right now, we're going through a test. And I pray that you'd give us the grace and the strength to pass. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Turn, if you would, to Genesis 22. Abraham is a great man to study. I want to encourage you to do this. I know a lot of us have different types of King James Bibles. I want to encourage you to do this. Get a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. It's a good way to start studying your Bible. Okay? The Bible says study to show yourself approved. And then when you get a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, it helps you to study. Okay? It helps you to study. You could look off to the side and look at the notes. For example, here in Genesis 22, you look off to the right side. By the way, it just gives you notes there, but it says 3606 in the margin, and it says spiritual test. You look to the back to 3606, and it'll give you verses on that topic. Look at Genesis 22, look at verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt. Circle that word tempt. We know that God never tempts us to do wrong. The Bible says God will not tempt us. You say, what is this word? Test. 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 Okay, and it came to pass, these things that God did tempt. By the way, remember, Abraham was waiting for a child, and then we had the father of the Arab people, Ishmael. Ishmael is the birthing of something that God doesn't want. Okay? And but now, in chapter 21, Isaac was born. We're about 30 years later in chapter 22, and so God is going to test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. Verse 2, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. By the way, God's not rubbing it in, but he says, take your son, your only son. He's sort of letting Isaac know, I know how important this is to you, okay? Your son, your only son, the one that thou lovest, okay? An only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. He says, I want you to offer him. Verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, of course, this is a picture of Jesus. We won't go into all that. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both them together, and Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Isaac was just asking, and Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, as God asked him to. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad. Neither do thou anything unto him. Now look at this. For now I know that thou fearest me, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Look up here just a minute. You know, God's saying, I tested you. You passed. Now I know. Now I know. By the way, we understand God's sovereignty and God's foreknowledge. We understand, we don't understand. But he said, this test, you passing this test, you not failing this test, you not getting mad at me because I asked you because of this test, he said, now I know. And Abraham, verse 13, lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. That means God will provide, God the provider. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son. And he said that before. He said, because thou hast not withheld thy son. And he's saying again, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. He said, verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the sea shore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Testings are for our benefit. Testings are for our benefit. By the way, I try to figure it out. I can't figure it all out. I try to quit, but I haven't. But I try to quit figuring everything out and just be faithful to God and just trust him. I can't figure it out. I can't figure everything out. Testings are for our benefit. Job said he would come forth as gold. By the way, Job got 10 times more of, and that's not always possessions. James said, count it all joy, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We're not supposed to judge people. I would say this. God is saying it's good for us. He's saying the fire, the trial, the testings are good for us. First Peter, we saw more. He said it's more precious than gold. God told Abraham, now you have passed the test in verse 17. He said that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed and the stars as the stars of the heaven. Maybe you're going through a test tonight. Maybe you're in the middle of a test. You're in the front end of the test. You're at the tail end of a test. Let me let you know what God says and remind you what God says. Testing is good for us. I know it's not a whole lot to say amen about. Number two, testing helps us to be more fruitful for God. Testing, it's not in your notes. You can write that down. Testing helps us to be more fruitful for God. I alluded to this verse on Sunday morning, John 15:2. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I've told the pineapple story. How many have ever watched the pineapple story? You watch it. I'm not going to tell you the story again, but I just got the pineapple story. I only have one of the pineapple story. I just got 10 more episodes of the pineapple story. The pineapple story is about a missionary that went to Papua New Guinea. And when he went there, he had these pineapples, and the native people kept stealing them. And literally, the problems that the native people brought to him caused him to be a nervous wreck. Literally, he had to go back home to America and get on, antidepressant, anxiety medication, stress medication. He said, here I am, I'm a missionary, and I'm coming back home. And he learned the principle of giving everything to God. And then he heard a message on that. And actually, it was about Isaac giving everything to God. And the reason we get stressed out is because what we're stressing out about, we haven't given to God. But I went on to watch more episodes. And he went into the details of how God gave him peace. Not taking away the storms, but in the midst of the storms. And he went on to explain the key is giving everything to God. He went on to talk about how that through these and I can't tell you all the stories, take too long, and I'm trying to stay on time tonight. But what he did is he told one story how that when he went back to New Guinea, he said while he was there, he said the mission board or the mission group that he was with, they said, if you're going to go, you have to study the written language. You have to spend 20 hours a week learning the language, not just the spoken language, but the written language, because you're coming, you're going there to translate the Bible. And so you got to spend 20 hours. And he got so busy in the work, then when he would go to some field conference, they would all be there, and they would ask him, and they would say, there are all these missionaries, and he said all these other missionaries, they had PhDs in linguistics and all this stuff. And he said, man, not me. He said, I was just a blue collar Joe Blow. And they'd say, man, did you get how much of your language study did you get done in the field? And he said, none. And they said, okay. And he went back to the mission field, and he got so busy. And his busyness was really, it was good. He was helping the people. And he got frustrated. And he said, Lord, the people, they had a little medical clinic. And he said, the people found out he had tools. And they had they didn't have much, but everything they had was broken. And he said, they started coming to him and asking him to fix their things. And he started fixing them. And actually, he had some way of having some type of power drills and stuff. And he said, literally from the villages all over, they start coming. And he's going, oh, my soul. And he came to God and he said, God, I gave you my pineapples, but now I'm giving you my time because these people are burning me out. Make a long story short, these tools that he had and helping these people with their trinkets and everything is what was bringing everybody to Christ. And eventually he had 10 preacher boys and 3 churches. But he wasn't learning, he wasn't doing all the linguistics training and everything that they wanted. And then all of a sudden one of the field directors shows up. By the way, he told all the guys, he told his preacher boys, he told all his people, he said, listen, when they show up here, when another white guy shows up here, he said, don't tell them I'm fixing your trinkets. He said, you guys got to, and then he told his wife, he said, don't tell them we're fixing their trinkets. He said, man, they're going to jump all over us. And this guy shows up and he comes and I think his name is Konai or something like that. He said, man, Konai, he said, how's the language training coming along? And he kept diverting it to another subject and diverting it to another subject. And he kept going around. And the guy came there to inspect him. And then the guy's walking around. He's going, oh, they had a service. And his people are leading, singing and preaching. And he's got all these preacher boys. And he's going, wow. And by the way, this field director, he's also a missionary. And he said, wow, this is unbelievable. He said, do you realize you are 10 years ahead of all the other missionaries out here. And I wish I could tell you the details of the story. And he said, you know what God did? He said, because I gave God my time, God blessed it. And it wasn't only his time, it was a test. All these people coming were frustrating him. Testing helps us to be more fruitful for God. And then let me say this, and this is lastly, the third point. Many never pass the test or tests. Many never pass the test or the test. Actually, he shared the story, this missionary, and he said, he went on to explain how, and he wasn't necessarily using this passage of scripture, but he went on to explain, he said, he used the story of his dad. His dad was 77 years old when he died, and he said, you know, and he was very respectful. He said, my dad never got past first grade, and he didn't mean in elementary school. He meant in life as a Christian. His dad was a Christian. He said, and I won't go into the details again because it's going to take too much time to tell the story. But he said, every time the test came, my dad failed. Hey, when everything's going okay, it's fine. When the test came, my dad failed. Whatever, bitter, mad, whatever. And he said, God bless my dad. And he talked about his dad on his deathbed when he was 77 and how that he shared the regrets of his own life because he didn't pass the tests. Many never pass the test. Let me say this, and I mentioned this in college, and I'm going to close here in just a minute. One reason we don't pass the test, I heard a sermon, we're listening to several of Brother Suter's sermons this week. One reason we don't pass the test is because of, actually there was a sermon, it was called Satan's Secret Weapon. By the way, you're going to learn more about the devil and demons when Brother Suter comes than you've ever heard in 24 years being in this church. But he says, Satan's secret weapon. He said, you know what Satan's secret weapon is? Satan's secret weapon is that secret that you have that you've never told anybody. You say, what's that have to do with tests? Often God allows certain things to come our way to bring that secret to surface so that it'll get out of us. He said, the way Satan destroys young people is they have a secret that only they know. By the way, maybe the secret is something that someone did to them. A lot of times, it's a child that was molested, and they never told anybody. You wonder why this kid's the way he is when he's 15 and he's 17. Because, by the way, let me say this, moms and dads. Satan's chief bullseye is on children. Satan doesn't play fair. Who are the most vulnerable? Children. Secrets. He told a story. It was unbelievable. He said, people ask me, how did I start my ministry on spiritual warfare? He said, my daughter I had just two daughters, and I think they were close in age. He said, this one just served the Lord, and this one we couldn't figure out. How come she kept getting in trouble? And he said, I want to say when she was an older teen, he said, we were sort of beside ourselves. We didn't know what to do. He was a pastor. By the way, I married Chavi and Canaro at his church in Missouri. Chavi was one of my bus kids when I was in Chicago. She moved from Chicago to Kansas City. She asked me, and I'd never been in the church, and I married. So I'd been there. This was this was years ago, but he said, we couldn't figure out what was wrong with my daughter, why she was acting the way she did. And he said, I didn't know what to do. He said, I got some of our deacons, very godly deacons, and my wife, and we got with our daughter and said, honey, can we talk to you and pray for you? We don't know what to do with you. Now, I know many of us parents have been there, right? I don't know what to do with you. And I just listened to the sermon a couple days ago, and he said, we got there, and he said, and by the way, I wouldn't say this publicly if he didn't say it publicly. He said it in a public place. He said, we sat down with my daughter. I don't know how old she was, 16, 17 years old. And they were just, their heart was broken. And they sat down with her, and as they begin to pray, they're going to pray, literally. And by the way, we don't believe in Christians can be demon-possessed, right? I don't. It's not in Scripture. But they said as they begin to pray for her and talk to her, a voice came out, a male voice came out of her and said, get away, she's ours. You say, Pastor, if that was Joanna and you and your wife and a couple of the deacons and that happened, what would you do? Run. And tell my wife this is a lady thing. I'm just kidding. Well, what happened? Brother Suter said, I didn't know what to do. He said, I went all over the place asking my preacher friends, what do I do? Bro, what do I do? He said, went over. He said, he tried people all over America. He said, he tried people in other countries, because he's heard about stuff like this with missionaries and so forth. He said, man, I didn't know what to do. Finally, he said he traced it after talking to his daughter. Parents, you please listen. Again, I wouldn't say this if he didn't say it in a public service. He was preaching in a public service. He might share the story here. It'll tell you a lot better than I would. He said, we found out that one night, they didn't find out, I think, until she was 19 years old, that one night, they said, they trusted their parents. The one night, they let their daughter, when she was, I think, 5, stay overnight at Grandpa and Grandma's house. And there had been a rebellious cousin that was having problems with the family, and the parents did not know it, but Grandpa and Grandma let that rebellious teenage cousin come to that house that night when their 5-year-old stayed the night at Grandpa and Grandma's. And that cousin took that 5-year-old girl and took her off, abused her, and had her involved in satanic rituals when she was 5. Parents never found out until she was 19. By the way, parents, look up here just a minute. You don't know what I even know about some of your children. I hate to say this, not as many of our children are as pure as you think. You say, why? There's I'm not going to spend much more time on this. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed.